I've actually got a title. I've got a title because this morning I was saying, Father, what is it that you really want to say? What you really want to say? And he said, connecting. It's connecting. It's connecting with God and connecting with others. You know, we often say we want to be in his presence. We are always in his presence. We know that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we can be in people's presence without acknowledging them, without enjoying their company, without connecting with them. We can be in a bus with a whole lot of people. We're in their presence, but there's no influence between one another. There's no connecting. There's no bond. We can be in a supermarket with thousands of people. We're not connecting. So we're always in God's presence, but we're not always connecting with him. We're not always enjoying that presence. We're not always bonding with him. That's what he wants, isn't it? He wants us not only to be in his presence, but to be connecting with him. And connecting with someone is looking them eye to eye, giving them our whole attention. So that when we meet people, we look at them and we give them our attention. Isn't that what God wants from us? He wants us to look at him, to see him, to be aware of how wonderful he is, and to give him our attention. He wants us to connect with him. And some time ago, I read a book that was talking about hearing from God and hearing his voice. Because when we're connecting, we hear what he's saying. And I was thinking about how a mother bonds with her baby. You know, the baby doesn't know much when it's newborn. But it knows somehow that there is security in the mother's arms, that there is sustenance, that mother is nourishing that baby. When we first become Christians, sometimes we don't hear all the words that God is saying over us. He is speaking words over us all the time. But we don't always hear them because we're not grown up enough to understand the language, as it were. But we can feel that presence, just like that newborn baby can feel a bonding going on. Even before we can clearly hear his voice, we can feel his presence. And as we continue to feel his presence, continue to connect with him, we will begin to understand more and more what he's saying to us. Just as a child growing up begins to understand more and more of the words that the mother speaks over the child and to the child. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bond with him. And at first it's just feeling his warmth, his presence. But as we continue, he will begin to speak words to us that we can actually understand. He's saying that to me. It's to me. That's where he wants me to go. And that's part of the connecting that God wants us to feel with him. We've just been to this fantastic conference at Wembley. Irma, Caroline, Ashley, me and Martin, we were just so blessed. And one of the things that the lady there said, if you want to hear God speak, get rid of stress. If you're stressed, you are not going to hear God, she said. You cannot take your stress to God and hear him then. You've got to take it and put it down and then listen to God. Stress just gets in the way, because she was saying it's all soul trouble. It's trouble in our minds, trouble in our emotions, or maybe even trouble in our body. And it's getting in the way of letting our spirit go free to hear him, because it's in our spirit that we hear God. So she was saying, get rid of that stress. Give it to him. Do whatever, but get rid of the stress, then listen to him. So then your spirit will be able to connect. She was so practical. She said something, I'm not going to tell you all the things that she said, but one of the things she said, if you want to get rid of stress, laugh. She said, have a belly laugh. She said, when is the last time you really laughed? Now, Carol is wonderful in that ministry, are you not, Carol? In laughing. But it's, if you really laugh, you let your mind, your body out of control. And after you've had that wonderful laugh and you're out of control, a peace comes upon you because your spirit's been released. She was saying it actually releases, you know, chemicals in your brain and all that stuff. But it brings you to that place where you can just be a child and hear God. I just thought, yeah, that's amazing. I thought that's really good. I want to laugh more. She watches comedy programs just to get ready to hear from God. Right? So she can have a good laugh and then laugh. And include Jesus. You know, Jesus thinks things are funny. He's, you know that God's got a sense of humour. When you know, read some of the stories in the Bible, you know that God has got a sense of humour. Balaam's ass is just a prime example of that. But that laughter can get rid of the stress. Relaxing in his presence. I've got a CD somewhere if... any of you, you know, want to borrow it from me. And it's just about relaxing, you know. Relaxing and then listening to God. Letting go of all the stress. And then listening to God. Connecting with him. It's wonderful. There's loads of ways of getting rid of stress. Some people center on God, or whatever God brings to you as the way that you can get to that place where you can let just your spirit rise. That's what he wants. None of that was what I was going to talk about. And that came at 8 o'clock this morning. Because we didn't get home till late this morning. what I was going to talk about, and it fits in a funny way, is the parable of the talents. I think I'll read it to you. They can listen to stories. Again, it's Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, he's talking about the kingdom of God. This is Jesus speaking. It'd be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the masters of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the two talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the one talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I've always found this a difficult parable. Always. One of the things I was thinking about this morning was, you know, those talents. At times you thought, well, why did he give 5 and 2 and 1? And do you know what really came to me this morning is, God gave 5 talents to one man because it was exactly what that man needed. He gave the best for that man. And to the man with 2 talents, God gave the very best for that man. He knew that man. If we're taking it as, you know, God and us, he knows each one of us, and he gives us the absolute best for us. And the man with 1 talent, God gave the best for him. We don't understand that. But God has no favourites. He has no favourites. He gave 5 talents to one because that was what was best for that man. We don't understand it. He gifts some people. He knows them. He made them. He gives the best to them. Some don't appear to have as many talents. But God made those people. He knows those people, and he gives the absolute best to them. He gives the absolute best to each of his children. He has no favourites. He gives us, each one, the best. I'd never seen it like that until this morning. I thought, why'd you do that, Lord? Why'd you give some more? Not? But don't you think he loves each one of us the same? Don't you think he knows how we can use what he's given us? And the one that has, the servants that have 5 and have 2, they increase it and they have more. If we use the talents, he will increase the talents. Isn't that so? He knows us. He made us. But I thought about that one that had 1. And I thought, how God must be grieved when he gives the absolute best for us. I just thought, imagine a parent giving the absolute best present they could for their child. They think about their child. They know all the gifts that are in their child. They know that child really well. And they get something that is the most helpful thing they possibly can for that child. And then They give it to the child. And the child looks at it and says, is this all you give me? What are you giving me this for? This is no good. And takes that present that has had so much thought and cost so much and digs a hole and puts it in the ground and doesn't use it at all. How would you feel if that was you? If you'd given your best to someone you really knew, and it really, really was the best for that person, and you knew it was the best, but they didn't see it, and they didn't use it, and every day they don't use it, how would you feel?
Hurt.
You would feel hurt, wouldn't you? And then if you came back after a time and said, well, what did you do with my present? And they said something, well, I knew you didn't really care about me. And I'm afraid of you. And here you are, you can have it back, it's yours. How would you feel? Because that's what he said to the master, didn't he? He said, it's yours. Here, have it back. I knew you were hard. That master was not hard. And that's what we can do with God sometimes. He gives us gifts. Each one of us have been given gifts. We don't ever want to be the people that just dig a hole, put them underground, and then blame God because he hasn't given us the right things. And start accusing God of being hard. So what happened to that servant? His heart became really hard. He was cast out, but there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a parable of warning, as well as everything. It's a parable of heaven and hell, isn't it? Heaven is sharing your master's happiness. God does not want any single one of us to choose hell. God, that master wanted that servant to use that talent and double it, just like the others had done. Don't you think he would have been just as pleased? The words that he speaks to the servant with five talents are exactly the same as the words that he speaks to the man with two talents. And if the man with one talent had gone out and used it and doubled it, the words would have been exactly the same. But that servant that dug the hole and hid it, his attitude to his master was horrible. He didn't want to share his master's happiness, did he? He said, it's yours. I knew you were hard. I'm afraid of you. He didn't want the joy of heaven. Sometimes we get sentimental and think that God's going to have everyone in heaven. God is not going to have everyone in heaven because some people don't want to go there. This servant didn't want to be in his master's presence. He rejected the gift that he'd been given. And he gave it back to him. God doesn't override our free will. And if we reject him, the more we reject him, the harder our hearts will get. To the extent that we won't want to be in his presence. We won't want to share his happiness. We'll start accusing him of not treating us fairly. I never want to be in that place. That's not where we want to be, is it? We want to be like those other servants We want to be in the place where, I listened to a podcast a week or two ago on this parable by somebody in America, and they were saying that a talent was a denomination of money that was equivalent to 10,000 denarii. And one denarius was a man's wage. Okay? So I used the calculator. I thought, I don't know why I thought 26,000, but I thought, if I had 26,000 a year, which I haven't got actually, because I'm on a pension, but I thought, how would that work out? You know, how much would the day's wages be times 10,000? It worked out to over 3 million. And I thought, this story is about a story of overwhelming grace that God gives. That first servant was entrusted with the equivalent of over 3 million pounds. A servant, someone who has always just had to do what his master said. Suddenly, his master says, here's this wonderful opportunity. I am, it says, entrusting it to you. You can use it. Use it. And that first servant and the second servant, it would work out about over 1.5 million. I think their brains must have been buzzing. What am I going to do with this wealth? In some translations, it talks about actual slaves and not servants. This was such a fantastic opportunity that the master was giving them. And they went straight out and used it. You know, even the one talent would have been over 700,000. It was a huge amount of money that each of them were entrusted with. That one that dug the hole, there was 700,000 sort of equivalent. Every day he could have, in that long time that the master was waiting, he could have dug up that money and used it. It could have changed his life completely. But it didn't, because it stayed hidden in the ground and he didn't dig it up. God has given us gifts. Each one of us has been given gifts. And he wants us to use them. Yes, Debbie, he wants us to use them. And he will increase them. That's what he will do. He'll increase them in us. And what will he do when he calls us to account? Say, well done, good and faithful servant. The AV used to say, enter into the joy of your Lord, or something like that. Here it was, share your master's happiness. Share the happiness of God. Enjoy Jesus. He's going to be celebrating with you. He'll be thrilled with you, delighted with you. Isn't that worth everything? To delight him. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to grow in him, and we grow in him by connecting with him, getting to know him. We get to know him by spending time with him, and the other way we get to it is talking about him amongst ourselves and amongst everyone else. We don't have to give the four spiritual laws all the time. We can just say what God did for us yesterday, today. I really needed a parking spot and he gave me one. Tell people. Because it encourages them to ask. God is forever doing things for us. And so often we can just miss them. We can dismiss them because we think they're too small. But it's in acknowledging the small things that he gives us bigger things. The lady was talking to us, Isabel Allen it was, who was talking to us about when, early on in her church, when there were all fairly poor people in that church. and they were giving testimony of how they got bargains in the supermarket. And they were saying, this is the way they phrased it, the Lord favoured me this week and he blessed me with, you know, so many extra dollars. And they got excited about it. And as they went on in that way, the testimonies grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Because they were giving honour to God. They were, his presence was coming amongst them as they shared stories of what God was doing for them. And he's doing stuff for us all the time. Put your hand up if he's done anything for you this week. Ooh, I've got to do it lots of ways because it's been so good. We need to talk about it. We need to tell other people. Tell each other and tell others. Connect with people. People actually want to hear the good news that God is alive and working for us, with us. So I just want to say, just let's live that. Let's spend time with him. Let's take time connecting with him, looking at him face to face. He loves us so, so much. And if anybody wants prayer, you know, there's prayer. And if anybody wants help in, you know, in learning to discern God's will, you know, I had those little things saying about discipleship. You know, just come and ask us. We want to help you in your walk with God. You know, nobble us. We're there for each other. Isn't this what church is about? We want to help us to grow. God wants us to grow. He wants there to be many more talents and to grow. And we will grow. So it will happen.